Thank you for downloading this podcast from City Church.
Second Timothy chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 8. I charge you therefore before God. Somebody got to read the Bible like it's a demand. You got to stop acting like it's a, you know, whether or not you choose to. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. When they want to hear it and when they don't. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Rebuke, yes. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they will heap, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. I believe Pastor Jason said, consider your ways. Endure afflictions. But I want church to be fun. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Listen to what Paul says. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. A drink offering was a libation the high priest would pour upon the main burnt sacrifice. Paul said, I'm just being spilled out on what Jesus has already done. I didn't invent this thing. I'm just being spilled out on what he's already done. For I'm already being poured out as a libation. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Put your dukes up. Somebody fight the good fight. Somebody quit letting the devil intimidate you. Somebody stop shrinking away. Somebody stop living in fear of what the left is going to say about you. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally. Somebody say finally. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Somebody said amen. I want you to hear me now. I am going to heaven. I am going to heaven. I am going to heaven. Live or die. Hallelujah. By and by, I will live in heaven with him forever. So today, I want to talk to you about a message that I've given a very long title to, so I want you to please pay attention. It's catchy, it's lengthy, but I want you to memorize it. Are you ready for it? Finally. You need to be living for finally. Y'all keep living for temporary. I keep, you know y'all to it. We all keep living. We want it all here and now. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. I want to preach the gospel to somebody this morning. It is my intent today that everyone in this room and anyone who encounters this booming truth, I'm not here to play church with you. I want everybody who leaves this building to be ready to go to heaven and charge hell with a water pistol until you get there. I am not satisfied with status quo church. If we're the body of Christ, there ought to be some evidence. Father, I thank you today for your love, your mercy, your goodness. I speak a blessing on the people of God. And I speak a blessing on the God of the people. Lord, we love you today. We ask that your kingdom would come. We ask that your will would be done. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the people of God in agreement said out loud, God bless you this morning as you're seated. Have you ever been anywhere and had to wait on something? Like, you ever been anywhere and just had to wait on anything? Maybe, and this is one that most of us in America don't like. You ever been anywhere and had to wait for a table at a packed restaurant? And every time they come out, I personally like when they come out and say somebody's name who doesn't answer. I'm like, hey, I'm still here. Maybe waiting for your number to be called at the DMV. Those of us in Alabama call it the tag office. So I just said that in case anybody in Michigan's watching this morning. You ever been to the tag office and they give you numbers out of that little roller and you just sit there? Now serving number 32 and I'm holding number 118. Maybe you've been to the airport waiting to catch a plane. What if you were about to go via ocean liner to a paradise that you were going to live out the rest of your days? And this paradise was awesome. And someone had paid your way to go there. All you had to do was sell your belongings, give up your life here, and be willing to go live your life forever over there. You sold all your belongings because you're excited to live on what is provided and what you've been told is waiting on you in the brand new land that you're going to make a pilgrimage to. You're now at the dock getting ready to board because you've been told of several things that would happen prior to the ship's arrival. You weren't told the exact day or the exact hour, but you were told when you see this stuff going on, your ship's about to come in. And as you look around, it's all happening. You were told that when men became lovers of themselves, when they despised good, loved evil, and loved pleasure more than they loved God, you were told it's time. Your ship is about to come. A sign of your departure would be when men had no longer natural affection in the earth. They were ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. We look throughout nature, and mother deer know how to take care of little baby fawns, and they look after them. But in the United States of America, the learned say that aborting a baby in its ninth month is a woman's choice and a woman's right. Men think that they've married another man. They have not. They are not married in the sight of God. They will never be married in the sight of God. Women are equally deceived. Degrees they have, sound doctrine and discernment they lack. They claim to believe in and be guided by science. Do you understand that one of the sciences, biology, has taught us for millennia the anatomy of a boy and a girl? The first great scientist, Adam, who was God's first creation, showed us that there is a vast difference between male and female. For when he first saw Eve, he said, "Whoa, man." And therefore, we have man and woman. All you utilitarian men out there, you were made to carry the luggage. You weren't made to be pretty. Start worrying about your manicure and go get a hammer and build something. I watch sodomites on the news say that I should be ashamed if I choose not to be injected with an unknown serum. We are in a society where sodomites openly shame righteous people. Or so they think. We live in an age where the simplest of truths is argued as Antichrist seeks to wear out the saints by changing sacred festivals and basic knowledge. When terms like non-binary are acceptable and critical race theory is crammed down our collective throats, as you stand waiting for your ship with other like-minded would-be travelers, even more signs of the ship's arrival are happening. And you should be glad that you're there waiting to leave this land. The Bible says it's like birth pangs on a pregnant woman. You do understand that contractions happen when birth is about to take place. Natural disasters, signs in the heavens and the earth as creation literally groans, food shortages, pandemics, race riots, Antichrist in political office on every continent. All of it is foretold in Scripture. All of it says that we're getting ready to leave this place. The two last signs that scream Antichrist: vaccine passports and bank account monitoring by your federal government. Yes, you heard that right. They want you to be absolutely tracked and followed. They want the illegal to roam here freely so that riots can happen safely. But you can't go to work unless they give you a passport. And you can't travel here or there. Listen to me, friends. I'm not preaching for or against the vaccine. If you have it, I love you. If you don't have it, I love you. It's not a matter of faith and falling out over me. I want you to know that I care about you. But you got to look at what they're doing with this thing. They are getting it ready to put the mark of the beast upon a man's forehead, or put the mark of the beast upon a man's hand, and he won't be able to buy or sell or travel or go here or there. When you see something like that, you know that Jesus is. You do understand when they can monitor what you put in your bank account and monitor what comes out of your bank account. You do understand. We are headed for Antichrist ruling the earth. When you see all of this happening, you ought to know. You're standing at the dock. You see a smoke trail rising off in the distance. You hear the horn signaling the ship's entry into the harbor. You see the workers of every craft readying for the arrival, preparing for embarkation. And at that exact moment, with the ship almost in sight, for no real reason, you allow emotion or distraction or weakness or idolatry or a lie that somebody told you to make you leave. Inexplicably, you go back to a home that you don't even have anymore. Think about it. You wouldn't wait all day in a tag office holding number 118, and when they got to number 117, walk out the door and leave. Yet that is what so many in Christendom have done and are doing. At a time when we should be making ready, at a time where we should be making our calling and election sure, at a time where everything around us is screaming the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are turning away from the faith. They are departing the church, and they're living a life that is unacceptable in the sight of God. Somebody's got to hear me this morning. Everything in this world is telling you that Jesus is coming again. Everything in this world is declaring the rapture of the church is at hand. It is in this book. It is spelled out. Joe Biden's actions are foretold in this Bible. The European Union foretold in this Bible. Russia and Iran and China getting together told in the Bible. It's time for you to get ready to go to heaven. It's time for you to get your soul washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, God, help me preach this morning. Somebody's got to get ready. Somebody's got to sound the alarm. I can't preach quietly, and I can't have dead church when sons and daughters are dying lost. I can't preach quietly and have dead church when Jesus said, cry aloud and spare not. Folks are giving up at the wrong time. When I ask my beautiful wife if she will make me a cake, if I come in the house, I might see the stuff on the counter, giving me hope that a cake is going to be made. I'm not all that upset over it yet, though, because the stuff's just sitting on the counter. Hey, would you make me that cake? I told you I would. I'm a little busy right now. No worries. I want you to know I want that cake. Those of you that think it's sexist that my wife makes cakes, I don't care what you think. She makes cakes because they're good. And if I make them, they're not. And I mow the grass because it looks good. And if she does, it does not. And I take out the trash because she smells good and she's pretty. Just want to throw that out there at y'all. We're not scared of you liberals at our house. We're not scared that we understand gender roles. We're not scared of any of it. I need somebody living in fear of the liberals to come back and be saved. My Lord, help us preach today. Somebody help us preach. Turn the air down up here. I don't care what you do. Do something. Folks are giving up at the wrong time. If I say, Pam, would you please make me that? Oh, man. When I come in the house, y'all know that fresh baked cake smell? And I don't know, we've almost 25 years this year we'll have been married. And here's what she says. You don't want to eat it when it's too hot. She's been living with me almost 25 years and known me longer than that. When will she stop telling me that I don't want to eat the cake when it's too hot? I will eat it with my hands if I can get my hands. Do you hear what I'm saying? She says it might fall. I said, it's going to fall right down my throat. If I smell that cake cooking, baking, and I know it's almost ready, I linger around that place because I know something is happening. I'm trying to get you in the body of Christ. Come linger around the church with us a little while. Come back to prayer meeting with us for a little while. Come back to Sunday school with us for a little while. Come back to morning worship. Come back to Wednesday night. Come back. Come back. I'm telling you that there is about to be a sound go off in the heavens. Luke 12, Jesus said, he said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Friends, it's the last hour. It's the last moments of the last hour. The seconds of humanity are clicking down. Anyone can see it. Anyone who's ever been to Scripture knows it. Then why in the world are folks so lukewarm right now? We're in a pandemic in the United States of America, in the state of Alabama. We've undergone the most crazy stuff I've seen in the past couple of years. And here we have people that can't even find their way back to the house of God, but they found their way back to the Sportplex, and they found their way back to vacation, and they found their way back. My God, help me, somebody. I come to tell you, Jesus is coming, and I don't want you to die lost, and I don't want you to be left behind. I want you to be ready. How could it be so plain? How could it be so plain? If all this is so easy to see, then why are people who claim to be saved so lukewarm? By the way, you know if you're lukewarm, he'll vomit you out. You ain't going to heaven lukewarm. You quit telling that lie. Why are people so lukewarm? Simple. The love of the world. People love the world. They love the world. They're much happier about real estate than they are heaven. And they're much happier about hobbies than they are heaven. And they're much happier about food than they are Scripture. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, people love this world. The Word says in our text, be diligent to... No, it's not our text, pardon me. It's the two verses after our text. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed. I want you to see this with me right now. The Apostle Paul says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself, the righteous judge, will give to me, but not to me only, but to everyone who has loved his appearing. And the very next thing by the Holy Ghost he says is this, be diligent to come to me quickly. Don't dilly-dally around. Don't wait. I want you to come to me quickly. And I'm going to tell you why. I can't leave you. I can't let you just walk around in squalor. I can't let you be apathetic or indifferent, because Demas, y'all remember Demas, Demas used to go with me. Demas was there when I preached. Demas was there when I prayed. He knew what it was to see the anointing of God on somebody's life. Demas knows who Jesus is, but Demas has forsaken me because he's loved this present world and he's departed me. I tell you, the love of the world is a problem of the church. It's not the problem of the world. They're lost. Their problem is sin. The problem of the American church is the love of the world. The world will distract you. The world will dissatisfy you. And the world will ultimately destroy you. 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away. And the lust of it. I'm telling you now, people aren't going to be lusting over the world in just a little while. The world is passing away, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. When you see Antichrist preaching on TV, it's not time to give up, it's time to look up. When you see Antichrist all around you, it's not time to throw in the towel, it's time to pick up the towel and start washing somebody's feet. It's time for the church to stop loving the world, fall out of love with the world, and fall back in love with Jesus. Folks are giving up at the wrong time because they've loved the wrong thing. I've shared this with you. I love deer hunting. I really do. I say it every now and then just to make sure that nobody from Pete is here getting too comfortable. Playing. The thing about deer hunting for me is, I don't want y'all to take my man card for this. I really just like dressing up in army clothes and carrying a gun in the woods. Is it okay if I say that to y'all? Like I told my wife, all these people talk about, well, this is a real ministry to me. No, it's not. You're dressing up in camouflage and you're carrying weapons. What boy doesn't want to dress up in army clothes and carry weapons in the wood? And then you can build a tree fort and call it a shooting blind. Guys, don't get mad at me. I don't care if you told your wife it's all about Jesus. We know what it's about. My wife loves me, so not only does she bless me, she watches hunting shows with me. She's awesome. But we both get the biggest kick out of it when grown men literally cry because they've shot or caught something. I mean, that kind of cry. I don't mean like my allergies. I mean the kind you can't, like ugly face cry. Biggest deer of my life. People love the wrong stuff. They're getting divorced over football. Nobody wants to hear me preach today except Jesus, and I feel like he's still okay, so here I go. People call bass fishing ministry. People call golf. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. I'm getting myself in all kind of trouble up here because everybody wants their hobby to be a God-sanctioned event. Friends, we better come back to win somebody for Jesus Christ. There are people that use worldly, there are people that use earthly endeavors to win people and speak to people, and I'm aware of that. But there are untold millions of American men in this nation that will miss 3 to 6 months of church this year because they're spending time worshiping God in the outdoors. It's an idol. They love the wrong thing. We've got to come back to Calvary. We've got to come back to Christ. We've got to come back to his house. Yeah. So Paul says, I want you to be diligent to come to me quickly. I want you to come quickly. I don't want you to give yourself any time for loss. I don't want you to give yourself any time to change your mind on this. Come to me quickly, because if you love the world, you're going to forsake Jesus Christ. Now let's go back and look at our opening text, and then we're moving rapidly to a close. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I want you to be ready in season and out. I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready to speak when they like it and ready to speak when they don't like it. I want you to tell them what idolatry is, even if they don't want to say it's idolatry. I want you to get somebody and preach them the truth. Friends, you cannot be ready in season and out if you are not resisting. It can't be done if you're resisting corporate worship. Corporate worship is a mandate for the body of Christ. I want to say it again. If you have a pre-existing medical condition and you are taking care of yourself and not going out in public, we offer you this live stream and we pray for you and we say that you're not alone. But if you're one of those hundreds of millions of people all around this world that go everywhere else except the house of God, I'm telling you, it's time for you to make this your first stop. Make this your first commitment. Make this your first appointment. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. The healing that you need will be added unto you. Preacher, you're going to keep doing that. They're going to find another church not to attend. You can't be ready in season and out apart from eating this scroll. Being ready in season and out will never be accomplished apart from daily sacrificial prayer. It can't be done without loving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. It cannot be done without dying to my flesh daily, crucifying my flesh daily. I cannot be ready in season and out if I am not considerate of others before I consider myself. Friend, I'm here making a very simple point to the church today, and here it is. If you're not serving, you're staying when the trumpet sounds. You got to hear me now. Jesus Christ said Himself, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will come to me in that day, and they will say, Lord, you can take that down when you like. And they'll say to me, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many great wonders in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Only he who does the will of my Father. Matthew 24:42, in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. He goes on to say, if the servant had known when the master was coming, he would not have beaten his fellow servants and been rude and angry to them, but he would have watched. Can I just say to somebody right now, you are not called to be a consumer. You are called to be a servant. You are not called to be a consumer. You are called to be a minister. And it is time for the body of Christ as a whole to say, Jesus Christ is about to return, and we must serve God every way we can. Somebody give Him praise in the Lord's house. You do understand that I can biblically prove everything I'm preaching to you this morning. And I realize there are all kind of pastors out there that are preaching to people with itching ears, and the people with itching ears are venomously taking the lie they've been told and quadrupling down on it and making it even worse, and it has tentacles that reaches in. Friends, if you are not serving God, you are staying when the trumpet sounds. Will there be doubt in the last days? You better know there will. That's why it says, be careful that nobody deceives you. But listen to what the Apostle Paul said. I want you to hear this now. Put your dukes up, somebody. Let's go to verse 7. I have fought the good fight. Can anybody, man, Listen to me now. I know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but could anybody in this house at least make a fist? Can anybody in the house at least look like you mean it? I need some of y'all to hate the devil a whole lot worse than you do. I need you to hate the devil for the way he deserves to be hated. Listen to me, somebody. How do you know you love Jesus? Because you hate the devil. How do you know you love light? Because you don't like darkness. Listen to me. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. I'm not letting anything get me off track. I know that naysayers have come. I know that antichrists have come. I know that there are wolves in sheep's clothing, but I will not give up on Jesus Christ because he will not give up on me. I am fighting the good fight. I am fighting the good fight. I declare over you, we're not going to give up on righteousness, and we're not going to give up on holiness, and we're not going to give up on godliness. We're going to preach it until Jesus comes. We're not going to just lay down and act like we don't know that our young people are standing in a gravel parking lot right near the police station in Southside, Alabama, drinking alcohol and loitering. We're going to pray that it stops. We're going to pray that it goes away. We're going to not walk in drunkenness. We're going to walk in sobriety and love. I want to tell every person that lives in Southside, Alabama, there is a healing for you, and there's a deliverance for you, and there's a Holy Ghost baptism. I wish you wouldn't preach on things like that, preacher. And the devil wishes it too. You don't want to be agreeing with him and disagreeing with me right now. Jesus says five different times, the book of Revelation to the church, to him who overcomes. That means there will be obstacles. Men will not endure sound doctrine. It hurts my feelings to preach a Bible message and have people look at me like I'm a liar and speak ill of me, not because they win, because they've lost. When the Word of God speaks, it doesn't matter how much men hate it. It doesn't matter how much it offends. The Word of God is good for reproof, for instruction, for rebuke. Somebody help me preach in the house. Men won't endure sound doctrine. Holiness preachers have abandoned truth for fables. They've stopped preaching God's word and accepted the sensual methods of the mega church. In hopes of drawing a crowd, they've settled for just helping people cope with their sins. I declare to the body of Christ and anyone listening to me this morning, Jesus Christ did not come to help you cope with your sins. He is a Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ came to wash you. Jesus Christ came to cleanse you. Jesus Christ came to set you free and to sanctify you. I speak over the people of God. I declare over the people of God, Jesus Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And I say it's time for the church to get ready. The old ship of Zion is about to come into port. The old ship of Zion is about to... How many people who live sinful lives and openly reject biblical truth find a place of acceptance of their habits and their lifestyle in organized religion today? The people on the media and the people in politics that are spewing all of this antichrist venomous doctrine and claiming it's love and claim that the true word of God is hatred. Where did they get their moxie and where did they get their confidence? They got it when the church didn't stand up about 30 years ago and say, this has never been the plan of God for America. This has never been the plan of God. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. But when he found them lost, he loved them too much to leave them lost. Don't give up on God because somebody else around you has rejected truth. Luke 21:38, Jesus said these words, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Somebody help me this morning, shout, "My redemption is drawing near." Yeah. Romans 13, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we... For I'm closer to heaven today than I was yesterday. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I came to tell the church, darkness has got to be put off and light has got to be put on. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I want to be worthy when Jesus calls. I want to be found obeying the word of God when he comes. Finally. A lot of preaching to get here this morning. Finally we got here. A lot of living to get to that day when that trumpet sounds, but finally. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Anybody in this building saved, you ought to be happy right now. If you're not happy, you need to ask yourself why you're not smiling. No. I am not here for one moment to play games or pacify. I don't know where you are, I don't know who you are, but if I'm talking about a crown of righteousness and you're not smiling and lifting up your hands, you need to figure out what you're living for. I'm telling you what I'm living for. I'm living for the day when the righteous judge of all the earth looks at me and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Honey, you hear me now? I am going to heaven. Oh, somebody hear me. I'm going to heaven. Just a few more happy days and then I'll fly away to a land where joys will never end. I'll fly away. Y'all sit down a minute. I appreciate somebody being happy about heaven this morning. I thought last week people thought I had invented it, made it up. Finally, there is laid up for me. Finally. Somebody say the word finally. So there will be reasons for you to turn away. One of the most damnable things anybody can ever tell you or your family is that once you went through a certain religious exercise or made a profession once upon a time, that you could never reject Jesus Christ. Friends, you can reject Jesus Christ whenever you choose to. But to him who overcomes. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all, look at this now, who have loved his appearing. How can I love his appearing? You cannot receive this crown if you do not love his appearing. You cannot love the world and have the love of the Father. I'm preaching Bible this morning. I'm begging somebody to lay aside false doctrine and hear the gospel this morning. You can't live like hell and go to heaven. If you live lost, you die lost. But if you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, there's a crown of righteousness awaiting you. Not only the Apostle Paul, not only our family that has gone on before us, but it's waiting on those of us in 2021. That will love his appearing. How do I love his appearing? I accept Jesus Christ as he is. I do not try to change him. I do not try to make him palatable to a sinful society. I accept him for who he is, and I obey his commandments. I don't try to change him. I don't try to explain him away. If he says stand up, I'm standing up. If he says jump, I'm not asking how high. I'm jumping as high as I can as soon as he says it. I'm not here to debate the word. I'm here to praise the word. How do you love his appearing? Accept him. Obey his commandments. How do you love his appearing? Pray. The Bible says that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. The Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How many minutes in a day do you pray? How many hours in a day do you pray? We were figuring up the other day, if we understand it right, there's about 168 hours in a week. If you multiply that by two, then we've got so many hours that people are trying to overcome all of the idolatry and all of the religiosity and all of the carnality, honey. I'm telling you now, you want me to preach for 30 minutes and try to overcome 350 hours of idolatry? It's time for the church to get back to the house of God. It's time for the people to gather again and stay here when we're gathered and hear from... It's not time for less church, it's time for more church. It's not time for less Jesus, it's time for more Jesus. This isn't going to be popular preaching with people who want to die lost. I'm trying to get somebody to not want to die lost anymore. How do I love His appearing? Get in the Word. How do you love His appearing? Get in the Word. Get in the Bible. How do you love His appearing? Corporate worship. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love. Pastor, don't you know that Brother Matthew quoted that last week, and then you quoted it Wednesday as well, and now you're quoting it again? Well, I guess I'm going to say it till everybody hears it and the Lord tells me to stop. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, and do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Honey, I'm looking around me right now, and I'm positive that Jesus Christ is about to return. I know retired ministers, and I know men and women of God who are faithful prayer warriors and have lived for Jesus for decades, and they're not telling me to tone it down. They're saying, Pastor, we're praying that you'll preach like you never have before. Pastor, we're praying God anoints you and gives you strength and courage. And I stand here before you today to tell you, it is time to come back to Jesus. It is time to come back to Calvary. It is time for the church to make her calling and election sure. Give Him praise around the house. Matter of fact, just stand up all over this building and give Him praise. Stand up and give Him praise. Wherever you are, give Him praise. Wherever you are, give Him praise. He's coming again. He's coming again. Somebody shout, yes. He's coming again. He's coming again. How do you love His appearing? Systematic giving. They're screaming about interest rates and price of oil and begging OPEC. What a brilliant move that was to stop oil production here so we could beg a bunch of terrorist funders for oil. While we're doing that, we'll leave them. Friends, politics doesn't really matter to me. When our government is as lost as it is, and a sixth grade child who may not know how to get bubble gum out of their hair yet knows you don't leave the Taliban that much armament. And they want me to be afraid to tell men they're men and women they're women. And they want me to be ashamed. Where's all that equality talk? I'll tell you where it is. I got to say this to the body of Christ, and I'm closing. I'm sharing with you the words of Jesus. These things I'm quoting you, these things you're seeing on the screen behind you, these are the words of Jesus. These are not, we're not, I don't even eat Cracker Jack. They don't come out of Cracker Jack boxes. I didn't get this on the back of a cereal box through a maze. I'm preaching the word of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, we're either gathering with Him or we're scattering abroad. That's what Jesus said. So I said, if you're not serving, you're staying. And somebody said, well, I don't know about that. I don't like how that sounds. Well, Jesus said, if you're not gathering, you're scattering. If you're not building up, you're tearing down. He said, if you're not actively with me, you're actively against me. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. If y'all don't care, I just want to say to you for a moment. You're called to crucify your flesh. You're called. He's Lord. You're not. You're called to obey everything He says. Give me some help out there now. You're called to obey everything Jesus says. Amen? So it's a sacrifice. Anybody ever, anybody, let's be honest around here and encourage people. Anybody ever obey the Lord when you didn't want to? Raise your hand. See how quick mine went up? I just want to tell you the sacrifice will be worth it. You do understand that what I'm preaching right now, the multitudes in America would reject and call hate speech. Friend, I hope one of them will hear it and get saved. But I'm telling you right now, the Lord has sent me to the lost sheep of the church this morning. The Lord has sent me to preach into your life and to declare the whole counsel of God into your life. Honey, you know right now, the Bible said that before the coming of the Lord, there will be a falling away. And I did not know we'd have to see it as full HD as we're watching it right now. And here's the thing about the falling away. Nobody who's falling away thinks they are. They still speak the language of Zion. And they're still claiming some life that they have not lived in over 20 years. I want to say it's time to repent and come back and do your first works all over again. Lukewarmness will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's what I'm living. I'm believing if I'll obey God and preach the word, if I'll be instant in season and out, if I won't worry about somebody who says, I don't approve of you, as long as he's approved of somebody, help me. I'm not saying be angry and hateful to people. I'm saying preach the truth in love. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to comfort you today and tell you that our ship has already come in. I want to tell you that we're about to hear a trumpet and we're about to hear a shout and the graves are about to give up their dead. Don't be scared of the rapture. Breaks my heart to people in the church. Number one, don't know what the rapture is. What is that? If you're in a church that doesn't preach the rapture, I want to invite you. I don't even care what anybody thinks about this. I want to invite you to City Church because you need to come and you need to hear the whole gospel. It's not escapism. It's a promise. It's one of the most beautiful tenets of our faith, the catching away of the saints. Terrible people don't know about it, or terrible this, they're scared of it. I'm preaching rapture right now. He says, therefore, comfort one another. And we got people in the church, members of the church, and they're literally like, oh, man, oh, every time you hear about it. You know why? You got too much love of the world, and the Lord's trying to convict you right out of that. I got to close with this reality, and then we're going to pray. Please don't stop. Please don't stop. Don't turn us off now. You made it this far. Come on. God will not be judging us based on government mandate. And he will not be judging us based on popular culture. And he will not be judging us based on the wisdom of this age. He will be judging us based on what we have done and what we are doing with the miracle gift of his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible is now and forever will be the measuring rod. You might think you won your argument with me, but you will never win your argument against this. Jesus is coming. Are you going? In the name of Jesus Christ, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't want you in the permissive will. I want you in the perfect will. God wants you in the perfect. Don't live lost. So when we look around us, the handwriting is on the wall. We look around us, and I'm literally baffled at people who claim to know Jesus, and they have not served him at all in 10 years. And this pandemic has suited them right down to the ground. It gave them a reason to be justified in the world's eyes. And not ever do. And I think about the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus had nothing. The rich man fared sumptuously every day. The Bible said that the dogs would come and literally lick Lazarus' sores. The rich man was not godly and he was not benevolent and he did not help. But they both died. Lazarus went to paradise, to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man went to Hades. And he lifted up his eyes. Father Abraham, would you at least let Lazarus dip his finger in water and touch it to my tongue, for I'm tormented here. He said, you had your pleasure in life. There is a great gulf fixed between us now, so that you can't come to us, that we can't come to you. And in torment in that place of fire, he lifted up his eyes. Would you please at least let him go back and tell my dad and my brothers and my family, I don't want anybody else to come here. Father Abraham said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. And I dare say if they reject what they have now, even somebody being raised from the dead won't change their minds. I'm asking somebody watching me this morning, let him who is raised from the dead, for the dead, for all time, change your mind. Let Jesus Christ speak to your life. Accept him as Lord and Savior. For all these things you see happening in the world around us, anarchists being elected to offices in major cities, defunding police, letting mayhem reign. When you see the borders of this nation overwhelmed and this nation literally falling on its face, when you see all of these things happening, it's not time for you to ask Oprah what she thinks. It's not time for you to go back and play another round of golf. It's time for you to fall on your face before the Lord of heaven and earth and say, Father, forgive me of my sin. Come back to Jesus. And the people of God that agreed said amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' matchless name. I plead the blood of Jesus over every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray that no one under the sound of this message would ever have the courage to die lost. Help us to have the courage to accept Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this nation. I plead the blood of Jesus over this state, over this region. I plead the blood of Jesus over the church, over my family. I pray that not one person hearing this message would ever die lost. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus, every man, woman, boy, and girl, that all be saved. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. There are people in this room right now. You need to give your life back to Jesus. I know you've been saying you're saved, and that's, listen to me, I'm not here to have a theological disagreement with you, but I am here to tell you this morning, if you have been living lost, you're in danger of dying lost. Now is not the time. Now is not the time to stop looking for his return. Today is the day of salvation. You're in this room and somebody's watching me right now. Somebody's listening to me right now. And the Holy Ghost has your heart and he wants to save you right now. Will you be saved? Somebody in this room, Pastor, I want to be saved. Raise that hand right now. I know you're in this room. I know that you're in this room and you need to come back to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you need to be saved, I want you to raise your hand as high as you can right now in Jesus' name. I don't know if I'd be ready should the rapture come. I don't know if I'd be ready should the Lord call, but I want to be ready. Lift up that hand as high as you can in the name of Jesus. Somebody out there listening to me, watching us right now, you need to be born again. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. And friend, you will be ready for heaven at that exact moment. Everybody look this way if you will. I want you to hear me. This is a very serious hour for the church. I am aware that there are more of what we call preachers in the United States of America that are willing to tell you what I just said to you was wrong than there are they that are willing to tell you what I just said is right. I'm aware of that. Where do you fall in the struggle? Because you're either convincing people of this truth There's no neutral ground. I want us to pray together. Romans 10:13 says these words, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not about joining this church. It's about being in the church. I want us to pray together right now. There's some folks in here this morning giving their lives back to Jesus. There's some people watching right now. I want you to pray this prayer with me, but you got to mean it. You got to pray it for yourself. And then once you pray it, you have to obey the Lord. So that means if you pray this prayer and you live in the Gadsden surrounding area, we're going to see you Wednesday night. Again, unless you have some pre-existing condition, if you pray this prayer and you come to Jesus Christ, we're going to see you in the Lord's house. If you live somewhere else and you don't have a medical reason not to go out in public, listen to me now, you're going to find a Holy Ghost Bible preaching church right there where you live, and you're going to be there the next time they have church service. Where y'all at? People are, well, if I clap for that, I'm guilty. Yeah, yeah, I'm committed to the Lord's house. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, please forgive me of every sin. Please forgive me of every time I've cared more about the earth than I have heaven. Help me to love you more than I ever have. Help me to serve you more powerfully than I ever have. Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord of my life. I submit to you. I surrender to you and I obey you. Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. I am saved and bound for heaven in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Somebody give him praise in this house. If you prayed that prayer, we need to hear from you. If you prayed that prayer, we need to hear from you. We got to get some discipleship material in your head. We want to help you walk in faith.